What about ourselves? Do we desire to be like Christ? Setting others aside for a moment, do we desire ourselves to be like Christ? We would not accept it in others. But what about ourselves? We're to examine ourselves. Do we desire to be like the Savior? To be sanctified? To be loving? To be compassionate? This is a work that can only be done by the Lord. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's a work of God. It's God's work within our lives. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something we can achieve ourselves, because our sinful nature cripples us. We're bound by the shackles of sin, unable to save ourselves. But salvation is God's work.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Thank you for tuning in to our program today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we're delighted that you're taking time to listen to the preaching of the Word on Let the Bible Speak today. Our message today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2. What a great chapter that is. A chapter that reminds the Church of Christ of who they once were and the great power of the Savior in salvation. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship.
It is very common for us to have a favorite passage of Scripture, to have a text, to have a particular portion of the Word of God that is special to us. It means something to us. It perhaps brought us to the Savior, pointed us to Christ. It has encouraged us at difficult times within our lives. It reminds us of the glory and the salvation of our Savior. And Ephesians chapter 2 is such a passage for me. It is filled with great depth. It is filled with reminders of what the Savior has done and what the Savior has accomplished for us. It reminds us of who we are in Christ. We are nothing. We are dead. Dead in our trespasses and dead in our sins. We follow the course of this world, but God, in the midst of our sin and our wickedness, God stepped in. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. And this passage reminds us, dear believer, of what the Savior has done in salvation. We were nothing. We could do nothing. We could not redeem ourselves, but God. And we are saved through sovereign grace. May we never forget that our redemption in this life and in the life that is to come is focused upon what we could say, these two words, but God. We had our course, we had our sin, we had our path of corruption, and nothing could change that, but God. But God. He moved in a miraculous way. He moved to redeem us from our sin and from our depravity. And this passage reminds us as well that salvation is completely of God. It is not of us. It is not of us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we should note that all boasting in ourselves is excluded, and our boast and our glory should be in the work of Christ and in the cross of Christ. How marvelous this is. Verse 6 reminds us that we've been raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh Christ, the Lord has done everything and man has done nothing. And that is what the gospel is. If you are trying to build your salvation, to construct it yourself, to merit salvation because of who you are, you will fail, because this passage reminds us that salvation is through faith. It is through Christ. It is a gift of God. It is not through you or me or our good works to accomplish. But yet in this world, men lift themselves up. But yet the word of God brings men down to remind them of who they truly are, that they may see and accept Christ as Savior. We see the mercy of God in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. We see the grace of God in verse 5. We see the love of God again there in verse 4. His great love wherewith he loved us. Matthew Henry said, observe, God's love or goodwill towards his creatures is the fountain whence all his mercies to us proceed. And that love of God is great love. Great love wherewith he loved us. We're quickened, verse 5, we're made alive, reanimated, resurrected. Life has been infused to us because of Christ. And there's been this great reversal from verses 1 to 3. A great reversal of our sin, a great reversal of our deadness, and we've been raised up together with Christ. It is all through faith. It is all through the working and the blood of Christ. Romans says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, how marvelous it is to know our sins forgiven. Do you know salvation today? Do you know this great change? You know verses 1 to 3. Because right now, if you know not the Savior, this is what you're experiencing. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Paul's talking to the Ephesian church, and he's saying, and you hath he quickened. The Lord has saved you and resurrected you and changed you. But originally, you were dead in trespasses and sins. No spiritual life. Living for the course of this world. And those here who've not trusted Christ, that's where you are. Ephesians 1 to 3 describes you. But those of us who are saved, the rest of this passage in Ephesians 2, it speaks of us, what the Lord has done for us, but God who is rich in mercy. Oh, that you would come and believe and know Christ as your Savior. But moving forward, we see verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not only is this one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because it reminds us of who we are, and reminds us we are helpless, and reminds us completely of the gospel of Christ and what Christ has done, but it reminds us of what the Savior is doing in your life and my life. It reminds us of that great work, not only of justification, but the work, that work of sanctification within our hearts. The literal translation here in verse 10 is a thing of his making. We are a thing of his making. The Lord has his redeemed subjects and he's working within them. He's working within them. We can think of an artist. An artist takes a piece of clay. The artist takes a blank canvas. And what does the artist do? Something I could never do. They create a wonderful work of art. I dabbled in painting and painting different models and things myself. I find it relaxing. I'm terrible at it. But yet when we think of those who know what they're doing, those who can take the clay and mold it into something beautiful, those who can take the canvas and the brush and the paint and paint something that is so beautiful that there's a desire by many in this world to pay great sums of money to have it hanging on the wall. When we think of that, we think of ourselves. We think of what the Lord has done in a more infinite way, where he's taking that which was sinful, that which was wicked, that which is unusable, and he's worked salvation, he's worked faith, he's continuing to work, and we are a thing of his making. How marvelous that is. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Salvation and being saved and knowing our sins forgiven is not the end for the believer. It is merely the beginning of their new life. And we see that here in what Paul is teaching. And I want us to consider this morning Christ's workmanship in us. Christ's workmanship in us. And firstly, I want you to see that it is a work that is most necessary in us because of sin. It is most necessary in us because of sin. We've touched on something about what Ephesians 2 teaches us. But we are not merely referring here to the physical work of creation. The Lord has physically created us. But that spiritual work of recreation or resurrection or being born again by the Spirit of God. And that is a work that is internal. A work that is glorious. A work that must be done. Because as this passage reminds us, we were in the depths of sin. We were dead. And the Lord stepped in. And this work within our lives is necessary for him to work for us. Because we can never do that ourselves. And there is a need for that continuing work within us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And Paul makes this distinction between the old life and the new life. There's a difference between that which is living and that which is dead. There is no doubt about that. There is a difference between those who have passed on and those who are dead. I spent some time in Australia, and we had in the church parking lot, it was, I think, just a bit of grass, in the church parking lot, we had a snake, a brown snake, one of those poisonous snakes in Australia. And that snake was alive. And because we had young children, and that snake didn't stay alive very long. It was a completely different thing when it was dead. It's day and night, completely different. Yes, you still probably want to stay far away from the snake, but it's not the same threat. It's different. There's this great distinction between that which is dead and that which is alive. And here we have this distinction. We were dead. Nothing we could do because of sin and the effects of sin upon us. And dear unbeliever today, that is where you stand. We've emphasized that already. Verses 1 to 3, it's all about you. Dead in your sin. In time past, you walked according not to the path of God, not to the path of righteousness, but to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He speaks about our lusts of the flesh and being by nature the children of wrath in verse 3, even as others. Unbeliever, that's where you are in the sight of God. Like these Ephesian believers before they were saved. Living in sin. Governed by sin. And where does that sin take you? The wages of sin is death, as we're reminded in the Word of God. Oh, that you would see the Savior. The one who can change your life. The one who can deliver you. The one who can pay your penalty of sin. And that is what we see. But God, who is rich in mercy, there's this distinction now. The dead sinner has come alive because of Christ. The dead sinner has experienced the mercy of God. The dead sinner is now sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The dead sinner is now the workmanship of Christ because he is alive. He is alive. If we turn to Ephesians 4, where we read from at the commencement of this service, you will see verse 22, Paul says that ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then there's a great list of sins, and where to put those sins away. And so the old dead man, the old dead you, engaged in these sins, lying and anger and sinning and giving place to the devil and corrupt communication and grieving the Spirit of God and bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. All these things were sins against the God of heaven. And Paul is teaching us the new man, the new believer, those who are the workmanship of Christ. They've changed. They've changed. And this work is necessary because of the stench of sin. Because of the great consequence of sin within your life. The work of justification is in view here. That work of redemption that the Lord has accomplished. Are you justified? The Savior has redeemed you. He's justified you. He's treating you as righteous in his sight because of the work of redemption he has accomplished for you. Have you experienced that change? And the foundation is always needed. The foundation to the Lord working within us. And working within us and changing us. The great foundation of that is salvation. I remember back in the 1990s, we used to go into the city of Belfast in Northern Ireland on a regular basis. And we used to park beside the River Ligon, and there was a parking lot there. It was really just a waste site. It was a site that was unused. I think there was a fence, but there's no covering for the road. It was just like stones and dirt. And you parked there, downtown Belfast. You parked there. And I remember after the various political agreements, 1998, etc., they began to develop the city, and more money began to come in. There, of course, was a ceasefire and no threat of bombing these buildings. And so there was a lot of work and a lot of money went into the city and into the country to develop things that had maybe not been so developed because of the troubles of previous years. And that old waste site where we used to park is completely changed. Within a few years, it was changed. And now there is a beautiful concert hall that is sitting there. It's been used for Christian meetings and various other things. A big complex. And you can go for a walk there beside the river. It's great. It's completely different than what was there before. If I showed you a picture, this is Belfast, you'd be thinking, I'm just going to stay here. I'm not going to see Belfast if that's what Belfast is like. But it was developed. It was changed. And now it's one of the interesting places to visit in Northern Ireland. The same can be said. The earlier where the Titanic Museum is built today was again ground that had lay vacant and unused for years and years and years. And now tourists from everywhere in Canada go to see it and go to see that particular museum. It's all changed. A great change has taken place. And in our lives, a great change has taken place. The old man, that which is, we could say, unattractive, that which is sinful, that which is vile in the sight of God, that is being changed and taken away by the grace of God as we are saved and then sanctified. And then the Lord works within us the opposite of these sins. Not lying, but speaking the truth. Not hatred, but love. It's necessary. Necessary because of our sin. The work of sanctification is necessary because it enables us to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. We need this work. Dear believer, you may say, well, I've been a Christian for years and I know what sins are and I seek to avoid sin and I seek to live for Christ. But yet day by day, you need the workmanship of Christ within you. Day by day, you need to spend time with Him. Day by day, you need Him to be working grace within your life. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, regarding this definition of what a Christian is, His workmanship. That is what a Christian is. The workmanship of Christ. Lloyd-Jones said there is, I suppose, no more exalted statement than just this. We are God's workmanship. We are a thing of His making. It's necessary because of our sin. Oh, that you would see that and flee from sin and look to the Savior to be His workmanship. But secondly, it is a work that conforms us to Christ our Savior. It's a work that conforms us to Christ. Dear believer, what is your desire in your Christian life? Is it your desire to be close to God, to know Him, to worship Him, to walk in His ways, to be like the Savior, for Him to be that great example in how you behave and how you speak? Is that your desire? This workmanship is a marvelous thing because it takes a wicked sinner, it redeems him, and it conforms him to be like his Savior. Oh, the Savior is lovely. There is Song of Solomon, yea, He is altogether lovely. Words that have been applied to and words that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the altogether lovely one. The altogether lovely one. The one full of grace, full of meekness. Isaiah 53 doesn't say much about the physical appearance of Christ. He's not lovely by the standards of the world. He's lovely by the standards of God. Meekness and love. Grace and mercy and truth. Oh, do we not desire these things? Do we not desire these things in our wives, in our husbands, in our family? Do we not desire, as a congregation, our leaders, our deacons, our elders, our minister, to be filled with the graces of Christ? Love, mercy, grace, long-suffering, compassion, that great care. Oh, we would wonder what is going on if our Christian leaders and our friends who profess to be believers spoke the very opposite to Christ. And instead of showing love, they showed us hate. Instead of showing compassion, they trampled over us. Instead of showing care, they applied more of the pressure or more of the sickness or more of the problem. We would wonder, they're not like Christ at all. What is going on? But what about ourselves? Do we desire to be like Christ? Setting others aside for a moment, do we desire ourselves to be like Christ? We would not accept it in others. But what about ourselves? We're to examine ourselves. Do we desire to be like the Savior? To be sanctified? To be loving? To be compassionate? This is a work that can only be done by the Lord. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's a work of God. It's God's work within our lives. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something we can achieve ourselves, because our sinful nature cripples us. We're bound by the shackles of sin, unable to save ourselves. But salvation is God's work. For you,
Today we're in 2 Kings 25 verse 30 for Spurgeon's devotional. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Jehoiakim was not sent away from the king's palace with a store to last him for months, but his provision was given him as a daily pension. Herein he well pictures the happy position of all the Lord's people. A daily portion is all that a man really wants. We do not need tomorrow's supplies. That day has not yet dawned, and its wants are as yet unborn. The thirst which we may suffer in the month of June does not need to be quenched in February, for we do not feel it yet. If we have enough for each day as the days arrive, we shall never know want. Sufficient for the day is all that we can enjoy. We cannot eat or drink or wear more than the day's supply of food and raiment. The surplus gives us the care of storing it and the anxiety of watching against a thief. One staff aids a traveller, but a bundle of staves is a heavy burden. Enough is not only as good as a feast, but is all that the greatest glutton can truly enjoy. And this is all that we should expect. A craving for more than this is ungrateful. When our Father does not give us more, we should be content with his daily allowance. Jehoiakim's case is ours. We have a sure portion, a portion given us of the king, a gracious portion, and a perpetual portion. Here is surely ground for thankfulness. Beloved Christian reader, in matters of grace you need a daily supply. You have no store of strength. Day by day must you seek help from above. It is a very sweet assurance that a daily portion is provided for you. In the word, through the ministry, by meditation, in prayer, and waiting upon God, you shall receive renewed strength. In Jesus, all needful things are laid up for you. Then enjoy your continual allowance. Never go hungry while the daily bread of grace is on the table of mercy. We thank you for listening to our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton. We trust that you'll have a blessed weekend, and join us again on Monday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. to hear the Word of God. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and I want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's Word. Our weekday program continues on Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Have a blessed weekend, and may the Lord continue to bless the preaching of his word to each one of us.